feel a little bad. Adam came up to me before and we went through some of these words that were hard to pronounce and we somehow missed Beer Lahairoi. So sorry about that one. And then Jason had the tongue twister of Romans 7. And I had the really easy one that everyone knows. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Romans 7, the passage, the epistle for today, and the Matthew Gospel are probably two of the most comforting and encouraging passages that I kind of fall back on when I read the scriptures, when I think about kind of who God is and who I am in relation to God. The fact that they're coupled together here, I think, at least for me, makes a lot of sense, even though maybe immediately it wouldn't be quite so clear. But I can't help but think, as I was preparing for this, as I was sitting reflecting, the reality of the weight of life was very real to me this week. And life is a funny thing, at least for me, in my experience. And I don't know if this is kind of the common experience or if this is just for whatever reason where I live. But I am so happy to have the opportunity to live the life that I have. I mean, the immense blessings that I have of not having to worry about what I'm going to eat or having clean water or having a place to live. I can buy and do things, you know, recreationally and to have fun. I can have way too many board games and I can do all that. I have incredible friends. I have a wonderful church family that I get to gather with every week. I have a fantastic family. I mean, I am immensely blessed. And I'm amazed at how easy it is for me to forget about that, how easy it is for me to dwell on the parts of life that are hard and to forget how much harder it is for many others. But I don't think that delegitimizes my own experience. And I'm guessing that we've all had the experiences of the highs and the lows of life. Wherever you are, you have a baseline, right? You have an expectation of how you feel, of what is good, of what is bad, of what you like and what you don't like. Depending on the day, you probably fluctuate above and below that line all the time. I'm just constantly struck by the weight of being alive. I have this weird thing, and like, not if this is something you've experienced too, but I go back through like my teenage years and my college years and my 20s, and there were hard times. Middle school we'll just leave right out, but the rest of it was pretty good. And there's ways in which it's just gotten harder every decade. There's more complex challenges, there's more that I'm responsible for, there's more to be stressed out and anxious about, and yet every time I think about it, I wouldn't want to go back to one of those other years for anything in the world. I don't know what that is. I can't really explain it, and yet somehow the beauty and the majesty of having the opportunity to be alive and to live my life both with you and with the people that surround me is this incredible honor. And alongside of that, I live with the weight of the difficulty, of the depressive things, of the hard things, of the suffering and the pain that comes along with this life. And perhaps the worst of those things, the worst of the pain, the worst of the difficulty that I struggle with, is usually self-inflicted. The times that I try to love the people around me, or at least want to love the people around me, and fail miserably at it. The times that part of me just really wants to get that jibe in, you know, that part of me that really just feels so right in this argument that I'm just going to say this thing that I know I shouldn't say. Or I'm going to start talking to this person that I care about over this other thing. Or I'm just going to kind of crawl into my own shell and disappear from the world for a while. There's all kinds of ways in which I separate myself from the people around me, or I sever the relationships, at least for a time, with the people around me. And in those moments, I am so overjoyed that there is the reality of forgiveness and of reconciliation in this world, because without it, I would be lost. Thankfully, it hasn't happened too often, but there's been a number of times in my life where there's just that fight that happens with me, and whether it's a partner or a friend or whomever, and I just say some of the worst things that are completely unjustified, and I know I am completely in the wrong. And from that point until the opportunity for reconciliation, I live in that time of wondering, is this going to be the end of that relationship? Because I am totally in the wrong, and my hope and my prayer is that they will forgive me. What Paul, with this kind of climax of Paul's letter to the Romans, what today's gospel is about God's answer to that conflict, to that strife in our lives. Whatever it is, whatever burdens you are carrying, whether it's a broken relationship or a particularly difficult week, whether it's a particularly anxious week you're looking forward to, whether there were things that you were sure of yesterday that you're not so sure of today, whether something has happened that has shaken the foundations and your confidence in what you've thought or believed or the way in which you've lived your life up till now. Whatever it is, know that what this place is about and what this table is about offering peace and joy in the midst of it. Offering forgiveness and reconciliation where things are broken. Hope and joy in the places that are anxious. And peace in the places of strife. See, this weird tongue twistery reading of Romans precedes Romans 8, obviously. And it's this idea that Paul is saying, you know, the things that I want to do, the good things that I think about, the way in which I want to interact with this world and with the people around me, for some reason I find that so often I don't do those things. And in fact, what I end up doing is hurtful things that I don't want to do. So what's going on? Why do I keep doing that? Why is it that even though I want to love the people around me, I so often find myself hurting them? The scripture's answer, Christianity's response to that is the reality of sin, the fact that we have within us capacity for great evil. But we were created for great good. And that war battles within us. And knowing that war battles within us, God sent his Son to us in Jesus and said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Those burdens that you carry with you, those stresses and anxieties that you carry with you, you can leave them here with me. Because you were not created to carry that weight. You were not created to live with that burden. You were not created to do it all on your own. And if there's anything I know about Americans, we love to do it on our own. We were created for one another. We were created for relationship with God. We were created to be connected. And in that connection, we find strength, we find courage, we find edification, compassion, empathy, and love. What Jesus is criticizing in this gospel are all the religious elites who gathered around and saw John the Baptist out in the desert acting really crazy, you know, wearing camel fur and or camel hair and eating locusts and honey and ranting about strange things. Like, that guy's kind of crazy. We should not go talk to that guy. And then Jesus comes and he does the opposite. He's really friendly. He sits with everyone, even the people you're not supposed to spend time with. He eats with them. He spends time with them. And they're like, you know what? He's just kind of a glutton and a drunkard. There will always be something that people can look at in our lives and criticize or judge. If what we're living for is to try to live in a way that we can be free of that, it's going to be an exhausting, impossible life. The purpose, I think, of Jesus' call to us to come to him to find rest and to find peace is about understanding that our identity and our worth and our value comes not from others, but from God. Because if we look for it in others, we are at their whim. If my value comes from this relationship that I have, what does it say about me when that relationship isn't doing so well? If my value comes from my job or my bank account, what happens when I lose that job and I'm eating away at my savings, wondering what's going to come next? If my identity comes from where I live, what happens if I have to move because my job transfers me? If my identity comes from preaching a good sermon, what happens when I preach a bad one? To that, God says, look at me. Come to this table and be reminded that you are loved, that you are beautiful, that you are my child. That is all you need worry about. All the stuff that you've done, all the stuff you've experienced, all the stuff that you stress out about and are anxious about, it is real. I'm not saying ignore it and pretend like it doesn't count. It's something we really feel. But to that, God says, he cuts through all that noise and says to you and to your heart, I love you. I will always be with you. I will never forsake you, and I will never leave you. It's always at that really intense point, you know? And so in just a few moments, we're going to gather for a baptism. Beau's going to be baptized here at our font. And then we're going to invite everyone up to this rail to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ in our communion and our Eucharist celebration. And so what are we doing? Why do we splash water on our heads? Why do we smear oil in the shape of the cross on our foreheads? What this is about and what all of this is, wherever you are, wherever your faith journey has led you, whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, or whether you're just trying to kind of see what this is all about, wherever you are, that's fine. But just to give you a little background, what this is about, what this was formed around, was gathering in the name of reconciliation and of resurrection and of life. That in this place we can be marked as Christ's own forever. This is the symbol that the church has to remind us that it is done. That we are forgiven, that we are loved, and there is nothing that we can do to sever that love or to sever that relationship. The relationships we live with here on earth can come to an end, unfortunately. But the relationship that we establish with God can only end if we walk away. God will always be there. And will never leave you and never forsake you. And that's what this is about. Sure, we have all kinds of other stuff we say. We have a ritual and a liturgy around it. I think it's important to talk about who we kind of are as the church and as Christians. And we talk about that in the baptismal covenant and in the creed. But at the end of the day, remember, it's not about all the right knowledge. It's not about all the stuff that we fill our heads with. It's about our hearts being touched by the love of God. And that's what the water and the oil are about. That's what the bread and the wine are about. It's about being touched week in and week out. Paul says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And in the way our lectionary is set up, Jesus responds, "Come to me, all ye that are weary, all you that are weary." You can tell how I have it memorized. And are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If your experience of the church has been something other than that, let's talk. This isn't supposed to be onerous. This isn't supposed to be crushing. This isn't supposed to be one more thing that you have to do that just adds to the exhaustion of your week. What this is about a place of rest and a place of peace. So if there's anything you're stressed out there, just drop it. Understand that we're not worried about you being anything in particular, you looking like us or anything or fitting in a certain way. It doesn't even make sense to us. Like, you being here makes us what we are, and the way you come is the way we want to receive you. There is no right way to do this that any of us have figured out. We bumble through it with the good and the bad, and in the midst of all of it, God says, come and be loved. So come. Know that you are welcome here, and know that this place is better because we get to share it with you. And know that if you're here just visiting for 1 week, or if you're here for the rest of your lives, that this church is better because you have been here and been a part of it. That this community and congregation is fuller because of it. And that the world in which we get to interact with will be changed because we gather here this morning. Because we have the opportunity to come and be touched by God's love and to allow that and our response to that to go into the world. So welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us. I pray that you are able, if not today, sometime soon, to lay down those things that weigh you down, that stress you out and make you anxious. But know, while you're working all that out, that you are not alone, and there are plenty other neurotic people around you to join with you. I chief among you. Welcome, and thank you. Amen.